she would clap her hands. The tiny gauzy wings just visible on her back were probably just for show, but the wizards kept on staring at her shoulder. "Hello," she said again, but a lot more uncertainly. She gave them a suspicious look.
"You're rather big, boys,"
she said, as if they'd become so in order to spite her. She blinked.
"It's my job to chase those blues away," she added, apparently following a memorized script.
Then she seemed to rally a bit and went on,
"So, chins up, everyone, and let's see a lot of bright, shining faces."
Her gaze met that of the senior wrangler, who had probably never had a bright, shining face in his entire life. He specialised in dull, sullen ones. The one he was wearing now would have won prizes.
"Excuse me, madam," said Ridcully, "but is that a chicken on your shoulder?"
It's the blue bird of happiness," said the cheerful fairy.
Her voice now had the slightly shaking tone of someone who doesn't quite believe what she has just said, but is going to go on saying it anyway, just in case saying it will eventually make it true.
"I beg your pardon, but it is a chicken. A live chicken," said Ridcully. "It just went cluck."
"It is blue," she said hopelessly.
"Well, that at least is true," Ridcully conceded, as kindly as he could manage. "Left to myself, I expect I'd have imagined a slightly more streamlined blue bird of happiness, but I can't actually fault you there." The cheerful fairy coughed nervously and fiddled with the buttons on her sensible woolly jumper.
"How about a nice game to get us all in the mood?" she said. "A guessing game, perhaps, or a painting competition. There may be a small prize for the winner."
"Madam, we are wizards," said the senior wrangler. "We don't do cheerful."
"Charades," said the cheerful fairy, "or perhaps you've been playing them already. How about a sing-song? Who knows row, row, row your boat?"
Her bright little smile hit the group's scowl of the assembled wizards.
"We don't want to be Mr. Grumpy, do we?"
she added hopefully.
"Yes," said the senior wrangler.
The cheerful fairy sagged, and then patted frantically at her shapeless sleeves until she tugged out a balled-up handkerchief. She dabbed at her eyes.
"It's all going wrong again, isn't it?"
she said, her chin trembling.
"No one ever wants to be cheerful these days, and I really do try. I've made a joke book, and I've got 3 boxes of clothes for charades, and whenever I try to cheer people up, they all look embarrassed. And really, I do make an effort."
She blew her nose loudly. Even the senior wrangler had the grace to look embarrassed. He began.
"Would it hurt anyone just occasionally to try and be a little bit cheerful?"
said the cheerful fairy.
In what way?" said the senior wrangler, feeling wretched.
"Well, there's so many nice things to be cheerful about," said the cheerful fairy, blowing her nose again.
Raindrops and sunsets and that sort of thing," said the senior wrangler, managing some sarcasm, but they could tell his heart wasn't in it. Would you like to borrow my handkerchief? It's nearly fresh."
"Why don't you get the lady a nice sherry," said Ridcully, "and some corn for her chicken?"
"Oh, I never drink alcohol,"
said the cheerful fairy, horrified.
"Really?" said Ridcully. "We find it something to be cheerful about. Mr. Stibbons, would you be so kind as to step over here for a moment?"
He beckoned him up close.
"There's got to be a lot of belief sloshing around to let her be created," he said. "She's a good 14 stone, if I'm any judge. If we wanted to contact the Hogfather, how would we go about it? Let her up chimney?"
"Yes, but not tonight, sir," said Ponder. "He'll be out delivering."
"No telling where he'll be then," said Ridcully. "Blast!"
"Of course, he might not have come here yet," said Ponder.
Why should he come here?" said Ridcully.
The librarian pulled the blankets over himself and curled up. As an orangutan, he hankered for the warmth of the rainforest. The problem was that he'd never even seen a rainforest, having been turned into an orangutan when he was already a fully grown human. Something in his bones knew about it, though, and didn't like the cold of winter at all. But he was also a librarian in those same bones, and he flatly refused to allow fires to be lit in the library. As a result, pillows and blankets